The Knotts Company welcomes you back to Focus on Automation, where we explore and celebrate advances that empower manufacturing. Welcome back to Focus on Automation. I'm your host, Todd Youngblood. And today, although I hate to use cliches, we're going to take a close look at the new normal, the new post-pandemic normal, and how all of us in manufacturing are adapting, along with some additional thoughts and ideas on things we haven't thought about that we might do. To help us out with all that, I'm delighted to welcome a repeat guest. Popular demand has dictated that we bring him back. I'm joined today by Mr. Joe Campbell. He's head of marketing for North America at Universal Robots. Joe, thanks for venturing back and taking that risk to join us.
Absolutely. Would not miss it, Todd. Glad to be here.
Just in case there's one or two people in North America that didn't hear your introduction from our last conversation, Joe, give us a quick sketch of your background and a quick overview of Universal Robots.
Well, I am a longtime robotics industry veteran. I hate to put too many years on it, but let's just say it's 4 decades plus. Most of my career was spent on the traditional side of factory automation, working for large robot companies and systems integrators and engineering firms. I joined UR 2 years ago. I was totally intrigued by this whole notion of collaborative robots and thought this was a really interesting opportunity for me to dig into. And it has not disappointed. I'll just leave it at that for now. So Todd, for your listeners who may not know UR, here's a thumbnail sketch of the company. We actually just celebrated our 15th year anniversary. And it was about 11 years ago that we introduced the first commercially viable collaborative robot into the market. In that period of time, we've shipped over 46,000 robots, and we're the number one market share leader. Depending on which analyst you follow, we're somewhere 50 to 52% market share. We're headquartered in Denmark, but we're active in 26 countries around the world. And like I said, I'm proud to say I've been here for 2 years, which in this world of UR and collaborative robots is actually quite a long time at this point.
It's just like dog years, right?
It definitely feels like it. And COVID has definitely made that a little even more painful.
Yeah, speaking of COVID, Joe, let's start with that. And from your perspective, just in general, what has the impact been on the manufacturing industry in general?
Well, I think there was a fair amount of shock and dismay early on as the pandemic unfolded. I think the inability to follow the manufacturing processes that we've all put in place for decades made it very difficult. And I'll come back and address that. It's mostly around social distancing. We also saw a lot of just real panic from manufacturers who had offshored large chunks of their business. And as you know, when the borders shut down, those supply chains were completely severed with really no backup plan. And so I think, you know, there was the initial shock. And then I think as people begin to understand how the previous manufacturing model was not going to work in this COVID world, a lot of changes started to come out.
Like, for example, I guess you mentioned social distancing just a second or two ago. You know, is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's one. The companies large and small, they want to get back in production. And at the same time, they want to take care of their teams. Right. They don't want to put anybody in harm's way. Right. And that's in most cases, that's really less about the regulation and the government mandates. It's more about the companies trying to take care of their workforce. And, you know, in manufacturing, as you well know, it's not easy to just reconfigure a factory and spread machinery and equipment out and spread workstations out to get social distancing. It's right. Actually quite challenging. And that's been one area where automation, particularly collaborative automation, has been able to help by quickly deploying cobots into certain stations to enable social distancing in a tightly packed manufacturing environment.
Do you have a specific example of that sort of scenario?
Well, I can give two, and I think they're both interesting. One is a large manufacturer of automotive components, and they have a progressive assembly line that is mostly manual because this particular product line is relatively low volume for automotive. And what they wound up doing was installing collaborative robots in every second or every third station to allow social distancing along that line. And, you know, collaborative robots make that very easy. They're very cost effective, quick to deploy, and they can work as by definition side by side with skilled human operators. And so that makes it a very attractive solution to get some social distancing very quickly into a multi-station progressive line. The second example is, I've seen this three or four places now. These are, you know, typically machine shops, but it could be any kind of contract manufacturing where the equipment is really dense. These are typically smaller shops. They're not large companies. The equipment is very, very dense. And in normal production, you would have multiple operators standing in close proximity to each other, perhaps sharing parts in-feed or parts out-feed stations, you know, in these machine clusters, machine tool clusters. Mm-hmm. And in that case, the approach has been to use a collaborative robot to automate one or more of the machines in that cluster, which reduces the manual operations, the human operators, and enables the social distancing. I think what's most interesting to me is in multiple cases, the deployment of collaborative robots to facilitate social distancing allowed the owners or the plant managers to see a very different manufacturing model, one that could be more efficient and more effective. And in many cases, that is the new model. They're not ever going to go back to the original model. They're going to leverage collaborative robots for the dull, dirty, and dangerous tasks and push their skilled operators into more high-value functions. And we've seen that play out multiple places now.
You know, I'm reflecting back on our last conversation, Joe, you know, the dull, dirty, dangerous thing. And you just talked about new business model. Are you learning anything? Because I know you have always been a big proponent of changing the business model using this new cobot technology. So are there deployments of the technology you're saying that you didn't expect?
Yeah, and I think these are really good options for any company to consider. You know, in one case, you've got a shop that's trying to maintain production output, and they've been doing that production output in 5-day work weeks and maybe 8 to 9, maybe 10 hours a day. We've seen multiple cases where using collaborative robots, the companies have actually extended the workday without the manpower. They basically allow the cobots to run for 2, 3, or 4 hours on second or third shift untended, which effectively stretches out the workday. We've also watched companies add shifts, not just a second or a third shift for unmanned operation, but in many cases, they're now doing swing shifts and having some of their team come in on Saturday, and in a few cases, come in on Sunday. So they get the same production output, they maintain their team, but they avoid the concentrated manpower that really requires social distancing. And what's coming out of this is a very, very nice increase in productivity. Overhead utilization is much better, machine utilization is up, and frankly, the profits drop directly to the bottom line very quickly. And so I think these are models that are not going to disappear when we finally get the COVID crisis under control.
So just to be very clear, you do not see people reverting to the old business model. I mean, there may be exceptions to that rule, but in general, it sounds like your feeling is the new business model is the right way to go.
Yeah, and we're seeing it be embraced by companies who are now out of the COVID crisis. They're starting to see new ways to do business. Another good example I'll give is a company that is a die caster and precision machine company. They make parts for a whole variety of industries. Well, their traditional model was to have a skilled CNC operator do the setup on a given part on a machine tool, and then load and unload that machine tool during the production run. With social distancing, they were challenged to rethink that model because they couldn't have that many people that close. Mm-hmm. So they wound up buying some collaborative robots from us, thank you, and they deployed them. And lo and behold, their new model makes everybody happier. It makes the production manager happier, and it certainly makes the team on the floor happier. Now, they have one skilled CNC operator who's responsible for the setup of each of the machines in a three machine cluster. Cobots do the load and unload. Mm-hmm. Right. So what they've done is they've taken a skilled operator and focused all of their effort on those skilled tasks and allowed the cobots to do kind of what would obviously be a fairly dull job of loading and unloading machine tools all day. And again, consequently, it's really changed their bottom line performance.
Joe, I see another potential issue, and I know that the implementation and integration of cobots into a manufacturing line is typically a whole lot simpler and easier than most technologies I've seen over the years. But are you running in, or what kind of implementation issues are you running in? Because it sounds like the volumes of implementations of the cobot technology is heading north at a rapid rate. And that's good for all the reasons you've just been talking about. But does getting all this stuff shipped and integrated and implemented, is there any issues in that regard?
Well, I think what's happening is I think companies are starting to understand that there are multiple implementation models or integration models. And I spent a lot of time talking to plant operators and owners about this challenge to make sure that they're making a conscious decision about how they're going to deploy their automation. So for example, in some firms, a do-it-yourself approach is perfectly appropriate for simple, straightforward applications. Right. They've got, you know, good skilled people, and our product is very easy to learn and master. In some cases, they will lean on a distributor like Knott's, and they will lean on Knott's to support the lowest level of integration, make sure the parts fit together, perhaps do a little bit of specialized training and programming. What's really changing is we're seeing this emergence of a different class of systems integrator called a lean integrator. These are usually smaller companies, kind of prototypically they're a 10-person shop, maybe 5,000 square feet. And they usually work in like one or at the most two application areas, but they're very, very efficient and they're very fast to deploy systems. And then finally, we've got the traditional integrators. I mean, if you're going to do a 40 robot installation, you're probably going to use a large integrator who's got the financial and the manpower muscle to deploy a system of that scope and scale very quickly. So I think what's happening is we're seeing this change in the integration models that are channels that are available. And we're seeing companies make more intelligent decisions about what type of model they're going to embrace for their integration.
Got it. I mean, so we in manufacturing, we spend a lot of time talking about lack of skilled labor. And it sounds like the lack of knowledge required for the cobot implementation integration is really not an issue. So that, I mean, that's a real bright spot.
Well, it is. And I think we're in a great position because we've invested in technology to solve the problem in a different fashion. Our online training academy, the UR Academy, has just been a fantastic success. And it's been extremely helpful in this COVID environment because you can train people totally online in a matter of hours in the fundamentals of operation and programming of a universal robot at no charge. The UR Academy has now trained over 100,000 people around the world. It's been just a phenomenal success. And for many companies, that's the only training they receive because that's all they need.
Yeah, you got to love it. I want to shift to a different issue. I'm not hearing about it quite as much as I did as early in this dealing with this whole pandemic back in the spring, March, April. The whole issue of reshoring and supply chains that extended around the world getting disrupted. What kind of impact are you seeing there? Are people still looking at it, thinking about it? Is reshoring the next big thing that we're gonna see coming at us? What do you think?
I think it's going to continue to grow. And I think what we're hearing from companies is two different approaches. One of them is we're going to reshore everything. We're bringing it all back. The other approach that I actually like a little bit better, perhaps, because it mitigates risk, is I'm going to reshore half of the capacity. Not all of it, but half of it. And so I think what's happened is, you know, the immediate crisis that we all felt in March and April has abated a little bit, but because we are shipping globally now, and that's all good. So I think companies are taking a more conscious approach to solving this problem. I think the other thing we found is a couple of companies who have invested in cobot technology specifically to enable them to meet demand for certain classes of parts in a very short period of time. And it's basically, they're trying to be the alternative to reshoring. And if your supply chain is long and it's going to take 9 weeks for a lead time, you know, this company will charge a premium, but they'll deliver the product in 4 weeks, for example. And so they're just finding a different way to serve that market.
Well, I got to tell you, this is one of the more This might be the most positive conversation I've had on the impact of the coronavirus on business. It's really fascinating. It's a technology that, frankly, it almost seems tailor-made to help address this situation. So
I don't want to sound like a vulture here, you know, enjoying the difficult times that we're all going through, but it has helped people identify areas of change. And I mean, it's been common in society for millennia. You get challenged, that's when the most change occurs.
Yep.
You know, we also see it down in companies that are realizing that the investment in flexible, truly flexible automation, and this is where we think collaborative robots have a real distinct advantage because they're so easy to redeploy. That has real value. The days where you could plan 6 months of production in advance and you knew what your product mix was going to look like and what your workflow was going to look like, they're gone.
Yeah. Nothing like the 1970s and good old MRP.
Absolutely. And if the faster you can change, the more adaptable you are, the better position you have in the market. And I think that's been a real outcome. You know, I think is, again, as painful as the COVID crisis has been, and I mean, I don't even know where we are on unemployment, how many tens of millions of people are still unemployed, we still have a challenge in manufacturing. If you go to any geography and search for open positions for machine operators and CNC operators and welders, you'll find thousands of job openings. It's not gone away. And so, you know, the collaborative robots are still a perfect fit to solve that problem. And again, it's unfortunate, but the heavy unemployment that we're seeing right now, those people are not going to transition into manufacturing, or at least not very many of them.
Yeah, not many are can. And, you know, it's interesting. What else is missing? It's one of the questions in my head. It sounds like a lot of folks are moving very rapidly into implementing the COVID technology. But what else would you like to see happening? What kind of things are folks in manufacturing not seeing right now, since they're so busy, you know, working with what they've got to implement right now? What else is coming at us?
Well, I think the thing that also gives me great heart for the future is that companies are understanding that their skilled workforce is the single most valuable asset that they have. And just like any asset, you want it to be productively working for you. And so we're watching companies consciously work very hard to take their skilled operators and put them into the highest value assignments they can. And behind that, then they want to automate the dull, dirty, and dangerous. I think arc welding is a great example, right? And I really never appreciated this, even though I've been selling arc welding equipment for a very long time. But the plant managers will say, you know, if you only have so many skilled arc welders, you don't want them working on little brackets. They're not happy with it. Frankly, you're not making much margin on these small brackets. You want the skilled welders working on large, complex weldments. They're the most satisfied with that kind of work. You are as an owner, shop owner, or manager, and there's higher margin available. Automate the little brackets. Right? Let a collaborative robot arc welding system automate the small brackets. Let your skilled welders work on the high value functions.
So you're very consistent on that focus. And I'll say it in my own words. It's take the skill sets that you do have and make sure they are deployed at the toughest, best challenges that you've got.
Yeah. And believe me, everybody is happier. Everybody is happier with that model.
Joe, you talked about how UR has educated, 100,000 people, I think is the number.
Yep, it's over 100,000 now.
Yeah, I know you've got a couple of events coming up. Tell us a little bit about more opportunities to learn.
Well, the next big one is called the Cobot Expo version 2.0. We actually did the first Cobot Expo in July, and it was a great success. And 2.0 promises to be even better. It's a virtual trade show, since we're certainly not doing physical trade shows right now. And in the virtual event, we have multiple exhibits from Universal and from our systems integrator and UR Plus partners. And for this event, we've actually organized them around application segment. So for example, if you wanted to learn about packaging and palletizing, you could come to the Universal booth about packaging and palletizing. And in this virtual world, that booth is now surrounded by partner booths who each have either a total solution or significant components that fill the packaging and palletizing application segment. We had a chat function in the first one. We've now added voice, so you can actually live chat. And in many of the booths, we're actually running live demos. So for example, if you wanted to come see a palletizing robot or how to program a palletizing application with the UR robot, you could attend the virtual event, log right in, and go into a Zoom room and watch the demonstration live in front of you.
So you're not only retooling the factory floor, you're retooling the trade show, it sounds like.
It's been a journey, I will say that. but we're very happy with it. It's worked out very well. We're getting good feedback from customers. I think the other thing we do at these events is we load them up with content. Spec sheets, brochures, white papers, application notes, articles, videos, you name it. And so the way we position it is, if you want to learn about a given application, you can get total immersion at our event for this application, whether it's arc welding or dispensing or packaging, palletizing, assembly, machine tending, et cetera. So the event's coming up on the 16th and 17th of November. It's actually coming up in just a couple weeks. The good news is, though, the event stays live online for 90 days after. So it will be available. Everything except the live chat will be available through the first of the year.
Now, I love that. That on-demand aspect of that kind of education and learning is extremely valuable. That's a great addition.
Well, when we did the first one, I will tell you that we had people registering, not just attending, but registering for the first time weeks after the close of the live event. So we know there's a lot of interest, and we know that that is, giving people the information they want when they want to receive it is really critical, right, in this day and age.
Outstanding stuff. Joe Campbell, Senior Manager, Head of Marketing for North America at Universal Robots. Thanks for taking your time once again to share your insights and information and for giving us such a positive outlook. There's a lot of good things coming out of this crisis, if I can call it that, and making manufacturing better than ever. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Todd. Happy to have the conversation with you anytime. Take care.
That wraps today's episode. On behalf of my guest, Joe Campbell.